Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. Today we're concluding our book, Seven Ways to Choose Healing by Stephen Arterburn, and I hope it has blessed you as much as it has blessed me. Our verse for the day is 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. 2 Corinthians 4:17, sometimes as you're watching your loved one pass away and you're saying goodbye, it's really hard to think of that as a momentary trouble, in that it is a light one, to say the least. But we have to remember that over and over again, he promises us that our eternal glory far outweighs all of our troubles. Oh, that gives me so much hope. I don't know about you, but I've laid quite a few dearly, dearly treasured loved ones, laid them to rest, and I look so forward to seeing them again. So as we conclude this book, I thought we'd just look over a 40-day challenge. And we're going to start with this prayer. So we're going to have an opening prayer and we'll have a concluding prayer as well. Lord, I am broken and hurting due to the brokenness of others and the mistakes of my own. Please use your power to heal me and give me courage to make the choices I need to make to allow your healing in my life. Forgive me for standing in your way of healing for me, and thank you for allowing my past to end 1 second ago and my future to begin right now in this moment with you. Today I choose healing. Today I choose healing. My healing begins right now in this moment. I'm no longer bound by my sick past. There is healing in my future. For the next 24 hours, I choose to live free and heal. I choose to let go of past hurts that I cannot undo. I choose to forgive myself for the wrong choices in the past. Today, I will dwell on what is good and right, not on the darkness I have experienced or the darkness others invite me to live in. Today, I will live beyond myself and I will live for God. On this day, I will choose to feel my life, rather than live in denial. I will not meditate away my pain, sorrow, or anxiety. I will allow each negative feeling to lead me to greater depths of healing. I will not drown out or ignore my negative emotions. I will work through these feelings, and I will move out of them. I will not project them onto those around me. When I am unaware of what choice to make next, I will choose the next right thing. Today I will not hide or run away. I will connect with those who love me and with those who need my love. Throughout this day I will stay connected to God and ask Him to guide me and lead me. Today I will be in an adventure of me. I will take a risk and enjoy the unpredictable. I will not be governed by my fears. I will choose to do something unforgettable that might lead me to know the truth about myself, or I will live life to the fullest. I will not lie to myself today. I will seek the truth and will ask for help when I need it. Today, I will reestablish some boundaries that will protect me from unhealthy people and unhealthy situations. I will tear down some walls that are keeping some wonderful people from knowing me and loving me. If there are some ungrieved loss, I will grieve it as much as I can today, and then I will put it away. Today I will choose reality and embrace it. I will accept my life and pick it up. I will refuse to wallow in self-pity. I will not focus on what I do not have or what I might have been. On this day, I will not give up. No matter how difficult the struggle, I choose to persevere. I will not let any excuse be strong enough to derail my path to healing. I will never give up or give in to an old life that did not serve me well. I will allow no one to discourage me. Today, I will heal and rely on God to deliver me through the choices that I make. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Today is the day that you can just take this day and hold it in your hand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of choice. We thank you for the people in our lives, and we thank you for the experiences that we've had. But we choose healing today. We choose to abide in you this day, to make every breath a prayer and every action an act of worship. We thank you, Lord, because you have given us this ability to do all these things. We know that our nation's in turmoil and the world is in its last death throes, and we look so forward to you coming again. We just pray and praise you, Lord. We pray for your soon coming. We praise you for sending your Son to save us. We thank you, Lord. All this we pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. So we're making snowflakes. You know, we've kind of had a snowy theme, but snowflakes are really fascinating to me. You know, they start with a six-sided figure, a little piece of dust that forms a six-sided figure. And then from each of the vertices of that figure, spirals form. And as much as we try to make them asymmetrical, you know, even with you, when you fold them just right, they're not perfectly asymmetrical, really. One way they are on your fold, but the other way they aren't. Anyway, the snowflakes I like to make are from coffee filters. And I've put this on my Pinterest site. You can look at it there at MRGGamblin2. But you don't even need to go there to make coffee filter snowflakes. The first step you do is, you know, you have to buy coffee filters. If you're like me, you don't have a coffee machine, you don't make coffee. Or you might have someone give you some. I have this restaurant give me these huge coffee filters. They are so much fun. It gives the child a big space to work on. So you just make, I like to make some scribbles with a felt marker, not permanent, but the washable kind, water soluble. And so scribbles, I'll make like six pink scribbles. And then between those scribbles, I'll make six blue scribbles. And then maybe between that, just a tad little bit of yellow. And then squirt it with a spray bottle and watch all the colors diffuse. I mean, there's quite a lot of science behind that that you can connect with your STEM or science class. And then just let that dry. And now you have a perfectly gorgeous colored piece of paper to fold up and make your snowflakes. And we're hanging them all from the ceiling in our classroom. You can do the same. Just brightens up your room, and the kids can look at that beautiful piece of artwork that they've done. And aesthetically, it appeals and it soothes the brain. So snowflake, coffee filter snowflakes. Put that on your family agenda today. Curriculum Corner. Well, I want to talk about reading apps. I know for educators, we get the free reading app Epic. I suppose somewhere, somehow, it's paid for by a grant. And looking online, homeschooling families can only get it if they purchase it, like $9 a month. That's pretty expensive. Well, some good alternatives are Project Gutenberg, which has like 40,000 texts in it, or Classically. Those are both apps you can put on a tablet. But you don't want your kids going in there and reading all the literature, really. You want to be discriminatory. And that's where you go back to your Google Classroom and create a library board. And with those library boards, you have links that go to the exact book that you want them to read. And once they start getting the idea of the library board, you can build your library. It is really fascinating. I'm still trying to figure out how to show you my snow library. I don't know if I can put it into Pinterest, but it's just, you go to Google Slides, you make little boxes. In the boxes then can be the front cover of the book you've chosen. When they click on that book, the book is there for them to read. And in some, if your technology is such, you can actually have the book read to them. If you have an emergent reader and you want them to be able to hear the book. And so you can build your library, and then the older children in your family can help build that library. So you have a digital library. You want your children to read online, you want them to read offline, you want them to read signs, cereal boxes, you just want them to read everything. So in our curriculum corner, then we try to provide you with ideas and tools for the path that you've chosen for your children. Questions parents ask. What do you like to do besides chores? A parent's asking that. They have school 6 to 7 hours a day, and then they have chores, but what else should their children do? Well, I'm saying here, maybe do only 4 or 5 hours of school, because it's too much school, too much prescription. Children need to play. Playing is their work. They need to go out and build forts. They need to climb trees. They need to play in the dirt. They need to find worms and make a little family of poly bugs. They need to be as little lambs running in the fields. And I know as they get older, their responsibilities become more. But they need to play. They need to have the time where the brain just decompresses. And that's my advice, so take it for whatever it's worth. Well, we have to take a break right now, but I hope you'll stay with us for the second part of our show. We're going to bring back an archived interview that we did with David Bahnsen and his book, Crisis of Responsibility. It seems more relevant today than ever before. We'll be right back.
When are we gonna get through this jungle?
Hoffy,
what was that?
I don't know, but I will check through the binoculars. Oh, my joy, it is a hippopotamus.
Oh, Hoffy, let me see.
The strap is around my neck.
Herbie the Hippo and I Can Read Animal Story. Check us out at homeschoolcompanion.org. That's all one word, homeschoolcompanion.org.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome back. I'm talking with David Bahnsen, and he wrote the book called Crisis of Responsibility. You can go to the website, all spelled out, crisisofresponsibility.com. And, you know, I certainly don't want to give the whole book away here, because it's always nice to really look forward to some good information, and I know what I've read has been very interesting. So I promised the listeners that I'd ask how you felt, and at the same time, part of your book is that we don't want to pass blame onto someone else. But what So I'm going to word this very politically correct. How do you feel public education or our educational system in general has contributed to this blame game?
Well, I think that I would, to answer your question fairly, I would even go further back. How has secular humanism contributed to the blame game? Because I think the attempts over the last 50 plus years to root public education in secular humanism are the real problems. Having locally administered public schools is not in and of itself been the problem. It was the philosophical indoctrination of those schools post John Dewey and some of the other truly destructive forces, nearly 100 years ago now, that I think contributed to a big sway in what the public schools were offering in terms of their underlying ideology. But now, and I write a whole chapter about this in the book, the lack of school choice given to a lot of families that struggle economically, a lot of minority families, a lot of lower middle class families that are stuck in clearly underperforming public school districts or schools, is to me an incredible violation of their civil rights. Their inability that they have to pay tax dollars into a system that isn't working for them, and yet they don't have the choice as wealthier people do to put their kids in a different school that maybe matches more of their own faith convictions or that is a safer school from a crime standpoint. Mm-hmm. So I think that we have an incredible opportunity to a lot of what we hear described as people that are on the outside looking in of this global economy. In fact, they're people that are being deprived a proper educational experience. And I think it has to change. And I do think, by the way, that's an incredibly nonpartisan political issue. The efforts in Ohio and Arizona and other states that have done very well with school choice, it was a Republican and Democrat effort combined. There's no reason we can't do that again elsewhere.
Well, amen to that. So I promised the listeners that you would share some strategies to remedy this lack of responsibility or to start at a young age and just continue to fortify our kids to take responsibility for themselves.
Well, chapter 11 of the book has 10 suggestions, and I've done so many interviews over the last month, and there's never time to go through all 10 of them. So I've kind of learned to pick the two or three that I think are most meaningful to me, I think represent the lowest hanging fruit. And the first one is probably the most difficult, but I do believe this is more spiritual, it is more internal and personal, but it is very important. An ability to reject an attitude of defeatism, an attitude of victimhood, even when we have truly been mistreated or victimized. Some people have been dealt some very difficult cards in life. And the most successful people I know and the most contented people that have the beauty of achieving wonderful things and productive things in their life have virtually always come from difficult circumstances, but their contentment comes from having overcome those circumstances. I believe we have got to stop playing into it, and that starts from out of the wellness of our heart, out of the abundance of our heart, rejecting an attitude that says, I'm a victim. Why does someone else have it so easy? Why does someone else have it so good? How come I got dealt these bad cards? That attitude sets a foundation that is almost unfathomable how bad it can get from there. Mm-hmm. There's another one of my top 10. I believe it was number 6 or 7. And I really decided to center around this one in a lot of the talks I've given since the book came out, because it's very meaningful to me and I think very important. And I don't want to confuse your audience, but I do really want to kind of make this point. To the extent we find our meaning, our dignity, and our joy in our production rather than our consumption, we learn to view ourselves as God created us to be, made in His image, as we read about this straight out of Genesis 1, as co-creators with him. That I believe that we have been trained to view joy and happiness as a byproduct of the consumption. And the problem, first of all, I am an economist, and so I have to make this point. We can't do any consuming unless we first produce, and we can't do any because we need the money that we use to go buy the things we consume, and we can't do any consumption unless someone else has first produced what we're going to be consuming. So there are two parts production and one part consumption whenever consumption takes place. But even more than the economic reality of focusing on production is the spiritual. We feed dignity, and we honor our role as image bearers of Christ. God made us to find our dignity out of what we're doing to fulfill and cultivate here on earth and to live in communion with him. So our productive behaviors are God-ordered, God-given, and I think God-dignified. And from that, we have no room for a crisis of responsibility when we're living as producers instead of consumers.
That's profound. I still teach, so I have these young kids, and it is amazing. I have the kids who already have that sense of entitlement, and then I have the students who take full responsibility for everything they do. They're almost too responsible. Is it possible to be too responsible?
Well, no, it's not. I mean, I don't know. I obviously I don't think that too responsible is really a big concern. But this is, you make up a good point. People say, like, wow, you wrote this really hard hitting book against millennials. And I said, no. The book is not against millennials. I frankly think the crisis of responsibility is far more evidenced in the boomers who raised the millennials than I think it is the millennials themselves. But one thing that is abundantly clear to anybody who spends any time around millennials, and you alluded to this in your comment, there is a top segment. I don't know if it's the top 10% or 20%, but they're in a complete league of their own, what you might call almost too responsible, too diligent, so driven, so intelligent, so innovative. And so the issue gets heightened because you end up with this large delta between the top camp and then the remainder. It's an interesting sociological phenomena.
Yeah, it comes back to the 20-80 principle, where 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and maybe even less than that. Well, we've come to the end of our show. But I appreciate so much. I encourage my listeners to go to the website, Crisis of Responsibility, and to really take to heart the things that David Bahnsen has shared with us. Start now with your young children. Be responsible yourself. Walk the talk. Boy, this interview with David Bahnsen has really helped me think and clarify some of the things that I'm encountering at school. And I know you probably are looking at your own children and going, I certainly want them to grow up to be responsible. So thank you for listening. And please, if you need to contact me, don't hesitate. My Facebook page is Homeschool Companion. And my name is Dr. Rose Gamblin. I'm all over the place just waiting to hear from you. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word. MRGMediaMinistries.com.